when we talk about legends on the show, top of the list right now.
People like, they're like, the Cooligans already legends. Yeah, why yeah, get
don't
more?
We need anyone
why
else.
Get, why compete?
Yeah, yeah. But we're bringing in nothing but legends. I mean, it's hard to explain just how much Christian and I revere this man. And I'm saying that now because during the interview, you probably won't get a sense of that because we're really we're going to have fun. But trust us when we tell you that this man is the voice of soccer for so many, especially young Latinos, bro.
La voz.
Bro, this is it.
Yeah.
The one, the only, my friend's dad. Andres Cantor, everybody.
That's his biggest, that's on his resume.
Thank you for such a wonderful introduction, Alexis and Christian. It's so nice to be with you guys. And thank God you said the voice for so many young Latinos. And because I usually get, it's the other way around. I get the young Latinos saying, oh, my grandfather used to listen to you. So it's a very nice introduction. How are you guys?
It's look, we're great. And look, I spoke to your son earlier. I told him, I'm like, yo, I want to have a fun interview with you. I don't want this to be an Andres Cantor glazing session, which it, I think a lot of times it comes up. But I need to know from you, how often do like 50-year-old dudes run up to you with the emotion of children when they meet you? Because that must happen a lot.
Every day. Honestly, like it's like, but you know what? The narrative has changed. Before, I used to be stopped in the street, and everyone would go, "Goal, Mr. Goal, Mr. Goal, Mr. Goal, Mr. Goal, Mr. Right. Goal." Since 2022, all I hear is people coming up to me almost, and this is true. And you can ask your friend, my son. this is a true story. They come up to me almost crying to tell me how much I made them cry during my goal of the Montiel penalty kick of 2022, which is like really touching and moving to me because they know I have that power of making people cry.
I mean,
yeah, that is,
Andre, you know.
Hold on. He turned the GoPro on. He knew what he was doing.
Don't be coy. Yeah, yeah. You've been in this business long enough. You know your power.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know, but believe me, what happened in 2022 was like unscripted. It just happened because it happened, because that's the way I feel for the game. And that's the emotion I had for Argentina winning the World Cup and Messi winning the World Cup. But I did not expect the viralization of that video right around the world, because I've been stopped in the most bizarre countries when they see me and they say, aren't you that guy that started crying and pulling an old man that was next to you down? Yeah, that's me. Yeah,
that's it. It's such a beautiful moment. And I know, I think for a lot of people, what they first found out about you is obviously the goal call, right? Goal. But when Kola Muani is one-on-one with Emi Martinez, did you want to yell, no?
How'd you
handle that?
How did you restrain yourself?
That is such a good observation, because I'm going to share something with you that I haven't shared too many times. I did not want to watch the replay of the World Cup that I called. I think I watched it in the first year anniversary because I did not remember. I was so like into my emotions that I didn't remember how the rest of the 123rd minutes went for my style and my such a big occasion and such a big game. I was thoroughly relieved when I listened to every single word that I said during the 123 minutes and the penalty kicks, that it was a very well-balanced broadcast. And then I didn't remember what the heck I said when Kola Muani was one-on-one. And I thought I had missed the call. And no, I did not. I said, these are my exact words, lo va a ganar Francia. All I remember when I saw Otamendi missed the clearance on his bicycle kick, I was dying inside. I was ready to cry for the wrong reason. And I said on the broadcast, lo va a ganar Francia, which means France is going to win him.
And right, but your brain was saying, I gotta.
I don't know, but I don't even know if I saw the save. I did, because obviously I referenced it. But I was like, man, that final, that moment, that everything was like something else.
I was so shocked you kept it together, because in that moment, you went through 8 emotions in a span of 4 seconds.
But it shows your, obviously your career, your
experience,
your experience, your professionalism, because it's not easy to be a fan of a team and call in, narrate a impartial game. And
especially when it's your nation in a final. Right,
and the thing is that nobody's expecting you to either.
yeah.
Nobody, everybody would understand if you were completely.
Everyone knows your name isn't Andres Lecantor. You know what I mean? You are very, very clearly an Argentinian man.
I always, when I do press before the World Cup, they always ask me, how are you going to handle Argentina? And I always say the same thing. I would be a hypocrite if I'd say that I don't want Argentina to win the World Cup every time they play. I would be a total hypocrite if I say, no, I need to be neutral. No, man, I'm a human being. That doesn't prevent me from doing my job. And luckily, with all the intense emotions and the roller coaster of emotions that final had in 2022, when I went back and watched it and listened to everything I said, I was very, very relieved that I did a very balanced broadcast. And even more so, Alexis and Christian, one of the biggest compliments I had from the World Cup was not the crying, was not the Montiel goal, was not anything that I did, other than the non-Argentinians telling me how balanced and how long and emotionally I yelled the Mbappé goals. That was a very, very good compliment, just as much as I did yell the River Plate goals on when I got to call the infamous Copa Libertadores final in Madrid, that River beat my team Boca, and I was like dying inside. But hey, I'm not in Argentina. You've seen all the Argentinian clips of the Argentinian announcers. They only have one public, which is Argentinian. I understand from day one, since I started working in this profession way back in 1987, when you guys were even born, that, the Spanish-speaking audience that I cater to are Argentinians are probably like the 3%, and the rest are, throughout Latin America. And not necessarily do they want... In this case, most of them wanted Argentina to win, not because of Argentina, but because of Messi. So... Yeah. I have, leeway of letting go of my emotions, but if Messi wouldn't be in the equation, probably half Latin America would have wanted Argentina to lose.
Yeah, Andres, look, I'm Cuban American. And he's Dominican. I've been rooting for soccer my whole life. There's you, your son, Messi, and that's the end of Argentina as I root for. Like that's the end of the line,
so
right
the
there.
The list is short.
You know what, Alexis. I'm going to get you the best Furaceta pizza that you can eat in this country, okay? So you will have the pizza guy that makes the Argentinian pizza as your fourth Argentinian to look after.
Right, and then Banchero goes fourth.
Exactly, that's the one, Banchero. I know the owner. So next time I'm in Miami, I promise, because I said this to you when I saw you last time in New York, when you're done here, I'm going to hook you up with Banchero and we're going to go out there. It's a long story. Just go watch Colasso and the clip of the Messi Furaceta.
If you think I won't fly down just to have pizza with you, dude, you don't know me very well.
Be my guest.
Okay. It's a date, Andres. We'll do it.
Done.
One of the things, your Alexis's friend, your son, Nico Cantor, was on our show last year, I believe. And okay. Remember Nico had mentioned that you listened to it and that you had like kind words, and just the fact that Andres Cantor appreciated anything that we created was incredibly meaningful. One of the things that I remember Nico was talking about, we had asked him about when he realized that you were famous.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting thing just to think about, because everybody sort of feels like we grew up with you. But he literally did.
He literally did.
Yeah. He literally, you've seen.
None of us had that voice telling us to clean our room. You know? you've seen the cuarto.
You've seen the beginning of the Nico Cantor story much earlier than most, right? Yeah. So, but your perspective, because I Nico now, we follow each other and everything, and seeing all how he talks about his dad, and I met your daughter as well. Also,
yeah, beautiful family.
Yeah, yeah. But the raising your kids in this environment, because from Nico's perspective, he will talk about going to like U.S. MNT camps and meeting players at a really young age.
Like it was normal.
Like it was just
like we all did that.
But as a father, you know, I have a 2-year-old, and I'm hoping to get him involved in into the sport and pass that culture on to him as well. But what was it like as a dad, kind of, and then obviously, and then seeing Nico and where he's gone into this game and kind of basically following in your footsteps? But what was that upbringing like to, nurture that connection with the sport and with Boca and everything with your children?
First and foremost, I was a dad, so I put my profession aside. I had to raise him as my kid, and obviously. Here, my wife, Lily, had much more to do than I did because, you know, I was away for the big birthdays and celebrations. Yeah. And, you know, I traveled quite a bit around during the year. So first and foremost, I was a dad. And the rest came kind of natural. Like, I remember, and this is the good old days of soccer in America, I had the whole national team, the U.S. national team, over at my house when I lived in Coral Gables for an Argentina asado. And every Winalda, Lalas, the 1994 team, okay?
Yeah.
And I brought out Nico, and they, you know, they all took pictures. I have printed pictures of Nico being, I think it was 3 or whatever, it was the 98 team. So Nico was probably 2 or 3, you know, with every single national team player in my house. So yeah. It was, and then, you know, when he started coming with me to trips, you know, he saw that I was chatting to players and coaches and so forth. But I'm going to tell you something. He cannot prove me wrong. I have the experience of my dad. My dad is a doctor, okay? He retired in 2006. He wanted me and my brother to be doctors and to follow his footsteps. And he pushed his own way for us to be doctors. And I remember that vividly. So I stay that way. I didn't push Nico into this profession. He kind of liked it himself. And obviously, the fact that he did come along, he started liking soccer. If he wouldn't like soccer, you know, he'd probably be an architect right now or something else. So the fact that he came with me to trips, I couldn't believe that at 14 he was on the pitch at Azteca Stadium. And I told him, dude, you have no idea. You'll grow up one day and you are in the same neighborhood where Maradona was when he scored both goals in the World Cup in 1986. And he got the hang of, you know, the profession and he liked it. And now he's on his own. I used to correct him at the beginning of his career, both in Spanish and English. And now, you know, he corrects me, which is kind of like
he's telling you how to say names of Turkish teams correctly, right? No, that playing in conference league.
No, I'll leave him because he's he masters languages. But you know, when I was doing the games for TNT in English this summer for the Club World Cup, I don't even want to go in there. I don't know why I looked at his text. Because they annoyed me like hell, and he
when you
was
see
right.
The 2-minute voice notes. You already know what's coming.
Yeah, exactly.
You must have been. It must have been a proud moment though. At some point when you realize, like, oh, they want to follow. He wants to follow in my footsteps. And as much as I think, you know, you really have been the voice that, especially I say it all the time, but like Latinos in this country that. Especially those like me that didn't feel like that strong a connection to the sport. We just loved it and we didn't have a connection. You became that connection. You became the voice by which I played all those highlights in my head as I watched them. While he got a lot from you probably being his dad, he didn't get the voice, bro. You have a booming voice. His voice is very different. Where you, when he told you he wanted to get into broadcast, you were like, why don't you type it out? You know what I mean? Why don't you?
You know,
you go on the computer.
Journalism is a great field.
Well, now that you say this, and this is 100% true, I went to USC, okay? University of Southern California. I finished my journalism curriculum without taking one broadcast course because I wanted to be a writer. I had no intention of becoming either a TV or radio personality. None. I liked to write back then. I still like to write. And now, thank God for ChatGPT. But that's another topic. No. But I always wanted to be a writer. I ended up doing this. So it's funny that you mentioned that that Nico should be writing. He writes very well, as a matter of fact.
He does write very well. Yeah, he sends long texts as well.
That's where he gets most of his work
Alexis,
done.
I know you're going to see him tomorrow. Tell the kid to put the blue check mark on his WhatsApp because I hate it when I send him a note and right. I don't know if he's read it for like 3 hours. And he's my son. You know, I send him, hey, Nico, are you okay? Because I know that, I don't know, there's a thunderstorm in New York. And 3 hours later, yes, what? Si, por qué? Oh, come on, dude. Just put a blue check mark and let me know that you read my message.
Who are you hiding from, Nico?
Yeah, exactly.
You're too good.
What secrets are you keeping, Nico? Also, feel free to text me if there's a thunderstorm.
All right, I will.
I don't have a father. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This,
I could use a text from someone.
Yeah, this is the closest Alexis has had to a paternal relationship. So this is really nice.
I'll take you for pizza. I'll text you when there's a thunderstorm. What can I do for you, Alexis?
You play catch with me, it's over. I'm part of the Cantor family.
We got to film a video of you taking Alexis to Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah. We're adding ropa vieja to the asado, okay? Because Alexis is coming.
Literally, we got to recreate Nico's childhood for Alexis. Yeah.
Take me to the Azteca.
we'll sort it out, Andres. Andres, I want to talk real quick because you are partnering with Buchanan's and Buchanan's is partnership work, obviously, and focusing on the World Cup in 2026. But there's a couple things going on.
So Latinos love Buchanan's. I don't know if you know this.
Big fans, right? But they are, so I have it here. They're creating the official 2026 Buchanan's chance to capturing the essence of the game. But can you talk a little bit about what that looks like and just even the concept of creating chance? Because sometimes people can be critical. Everybody has different, you know,
until
like,
it catches on, people go, there's critics.
Right, there's critics. But then there's also like different countries have different chances. Argentina chants in a much different way than England does and in the US and stuff like that. But can you talk about a little bit your partnership with Buchanan? Yeah,
of course. First, this is a very universal chant. The reason I teamed up with Buchanan is because they capture the flavor and la fiesta de los Latinos. They understand exactly how we feel and how passionate we are. And them being, you know, an official supporter of the FIFA World Cup 2026 is crucial. So they came up with a chant which is pretty much based on Los Pregoneros. And I know in the Dominican Republic, in Cuba, there's these trucks that go around the cities and with, you know, selling products or offering things. Well, based on that Pregonero story, they came up with a Bucamión. The Bucamión is just blasting Nos vamos al Mundial, nos vamos al Mundial, which is, we're going to the World Cup. We had a great run in New York a couple of weeks ago. We went to three different locations. People were super excited. They got the chance to win FIFA World Cup tickets, which is amazing this early. I mean, those people that won the tickets are probably in heaven. It will be around many of the venues of next year's World Cup. And people, you know, can enter on buchananswhiskey.com the chance to win World Cup tickets. There's a dance contest. And, I mean, it's so fun and entertaining that that is, you know, one of the reasons that I joined Buchanan, because I liked their ideas and that it translated into what we Latinos feel.
I love it. Awesome. All right, Andres
Cantor. El Bucamión.
But Andres Cantor in a dance contest? Okay. I'm not saying no.
You'll be surprised. Like I say, I'm the life. Ask me what my phrase is. I'm the life of the party. I mean, they see me in coat and tie every Saturday and Sunday. So, hola, ¿qué tal? Bueno, está bien. Just put some reggaeton, get me some Buchanans, and the rest is history.
What I tell you, bro, this is my dad, bro. I'm just saying it. You've adopted a son with knee problems. I want you to know that.
Incredible. I also, we were talking about Chance, and I think for me, a bucket list thing is to go to a game in Argentina. I've obviously seen games on television. We watch all the documentaries. Whether it's an international match to watch the international team, or even just a regular Argentina, like it feels like a movie. It feels like a show. I mean, the supporters themselves are I identify more with the supporters than the players. You know what I mean? Like the chanting is so incredibly passionate, and it's something that we all sort of pluck from, you know, as far as the American soccer culture is a little bit of kind of everything. But can you talk about being in the stands for a game, for a Boca match, and what those chants are like, and the tifos? And
can you even go to the stands of a Boca match? Are you too famous for that?
No, in Argentina I can go. I actually like to go just as a fan. I don't like to go as an accredited reporter. I think you all got a taste of our fandom during the Club World Cup in Miami. I mean, the amount of people Boca brought to the States for their two first games that were here in Miami against Benfica and Bayern Munich is a testament of the fandom that we have. There is nothing more important. It seems that there's nothing more important in life for us than a Boca game. I mean, there's one tonight, and I've been sleepless for the last two nights because it's a single elimination, and I'm going to get home, and my wife already knows the ritual. There's no talking. There's no phone. There's no, don't bring me any guest, and don't bother me for 90 minutes because I'm concentrated on the game. So it's really amazing, and it's something, but again, Christian, if you're going to go for the Boca River, El Clásico, the Clásicos of Argentinian football, you have to go to La Bombonera, which is our stadium. You cannot go to the other one. I mean, you can go to the other one, but the feel will not be the same. You know, it's La Bombonera. It's an experience to be had. It's I cannot describe it with words, and it is obviously a bucket list for any soccer fan that is watching and listening. If you're a true, I mean, I know we're very Eurocentric in this country, you know, the Liverpool City, the Manchester United, Man City, or the Real Madrid Barcelona, they do not compare. if you want to eat good meat, go to a beautiful city like Buenos Aires, have a great time with great people, friendly people in Argentina, and watch the bucket list match of your life. It's Boca River in Boca Stadium. Don't call me for tickets. They're very hard to get to. That has to be on someone's bucket list.
Okay.
I think I would only go to Monumental just for the Gallardo statue. I need to take a picture with that huge crotch.
Here's the deal, Alexis. The original Manchero pizza is in La Boca. This is true. Okay? Uh-huh. So your dad will take you to have a pizza. We will go to a Boca River at La Bombonera, and then I will leave you 10 blocks away from that statue. You can go walk, take your selfie with a Gallardo monument statue, and come back, and I'll we'll meet 10 blocks away from that stadium.
Right. If you were really my dad, you wouldn't wait for me to come back. You would leave.
But that's what makes them different.
That's right. And we applaud these men. I did get a chance to speak to Nico, and I wanted to know more about you. One of the things that I found out is that you're not a big sauce guy. You don't like sauce on your food.
No, zero.
You don't put chimichurri on your asado. You don't you get plain wings. You don't dip it into anything.
This is, you know, Gen Z would be calling this raw dogging.
Yeah, raw dogging. Raw dogging the food.
I don't know what that means. That's probably best.
Don't
trap me into something that I should know and it's bad.
All good.
But I also know Maradona is your idol.
Yes.
So let's say Maradona invited you to his house for an asado and he took your entraña and he covered it in chimichurri. How much of that entraña are you eating before you say to him, like, hey, man, can I get a napkin?
Since I knew Diego, I would have told him, Diego, se te capó la tortuga, which is one of his phrases, which means, like, you know, what the heck?
Yeah.
But just out of respect that he invited me to the asado, I would eat it with a chimichurri and then, you know, throw up on the way out. and of course, follow with some
Buchanan's.
Exactly.
There you go.
Is there a particular reason? Is it maybe allergies? Is it just that you literally don't like the taste? Just
no sauce.
I
just
anything.
Like. A ver, si nos entendemos.
Dime.
Meat tastes like meat. The minute you put something on top, it tastes like whatever you're putting on top. So I like to eat meat like meat. I don't eat wings because they already come with spices. I don't like spices. Nico, I mean, he likes very spicy food. And I cannot understand why, because he never saw me, maybe my wife, eats a little bit of spicy food. But he, I mean, you've been around him. He puts that Tabasco sauce on bananas. The guy's crazy.
Yeah. You know? I love spice too. This is one of the things we get along. But he told me, he's like, my dad won't put, what do you eat French fries with? Do you dip it in anything?
Sometimes a little bit of ketchup, but that's as much as I'll go.
Fascinating.
Right? Isn't that so fascinating?
For a man who has a grasp of the language and is artistic and creative.
Feels like a Renaissance man.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say for a man that's 250 pounds. Like, no.
Yeah, he sits next to me, buddy. He doesn't even know.
I'm above those kind of jokes on this. But you would just think that there would be so much culture to the way you eat as well and stuff like that. But no, you are...
Hold on, what about a hot dog? What did you put on a hot dog the last
mustard.
Time
mustard. And the hot dog, I do put mustard. Yeah.
Okay, so we have one. All right.
New Yorker. Yeah. Right there.
Yeah.
I know ketchup on a hot dog. I like this.
Okay. All right. Well, good good to know. All right. Yeah. All right. We don't have too much time. I do want to ask this. You just on a...
Why? You guys in a hurry or what?
No. I heard you were in a hurry.
You seem like a much more important person than us.
Hey, I got an extra few if you need.
I did want to ask about, we were obviously talking about the 2022 World Cup, and one of the people that we lost at that World Cup, unfortunately, was Grant Waugh, and was a dear friend, a huge supporter of us, and gave us a lot of
he's been super essential in our career.
Muchísimo consejo that he's given us. But I want to talk about your relationship with Grant and also maybe even that experience, because I know it was very difficult for everybody there, not exactly knowing what's going on. And
you've
also
probably known him forever, right? Because you talk about the early days of soccer. He was also involved very early on as well.
Yes, and also the deep connection with Argentina that Grant Waugh had. He was a huge, huge fan of the Argentinian national team, and he called Argentina his second home. So, even for our own benefit, I would love to hear, any stories or anything you want to share about.
Sure.
About
first and foremost, I was stunned because when I heard what happened, because I had seen him and I had said hello, we exchanged hellos, in the line to get something to eat, like in the press tent before going up to the stadium. This was probably 2 hours before kickoff. You know, we used to go very early to the stadium. So I saw him and I said, hey, Grant, how are you? Good, man, how are you? It's a tough game. I think we exchanged, you know, something about the game. It was Argentina against the Netherlands. And then on the way, you know, I was super happy for Argentina that had just eliminated the Dutch in that very rough game that we all remember. And in the van, My producer that day was somebody you probably know, Shaw Brown, who also was a very dear friend of Grant. And I see him, you know, almost crying and letting me know that there's something going on with Grant that we don't know yet. And then I think when we got to the hotel, we got word that he had passed away. And I was like blown away because of the immediacy that I had seen him. Mm. I didn't see him in the press stands because, you know, I was with the TV crew somewhere else. But I couldn't, I mean, it reminded me of how fragile life is and I honestly couldn't believe it. And, you know, my relationship, dates back, you know, I guess a long time. We've seen each other. You know, he did so much for the advancement of soccer in this country, especially women's soccer. And he interviewed me for his podcast. I actually, at one given point, you know, thought about trying to do something with him, you know, in English. And we talked, you know, several times, and it was just... super tragic what happened, the way it happened, and you know, knowing that it was just, you know, a heart attack that killed him is just like, whoa, really. Tremendous. I mean, like, a very, very sad day.
I'm still, we were in the studio when we started getting texts from other people in the press box that he had collapsed. Very tragic for us as well. Someone who was very instrumental, not just in growing the sport, but in helping us with our careers. Because when we started, two comedians, we didn't know who to go to for advice. We just kept going, and he offered it without us even asking, which kind of tells you a good idea of the kind of person that he was. We do have a few, if I have another minute or two, we play a game called Pro Rel. Mm-hmm. So that's all you have to respond is pro if it's a yes, rel if like pro if you agree, rel if you disagree. So I'm going to say, we're going to say statements, and you have to assume that these are statements that you either agree or disagree with. Sound good?
Sound okay. Pro is yes, rel is no. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so the first one I'll say is I want a hot dog with just ketchup on it, tons of ketchup and hot sauce.
Rel.
Okay. All right. So you get the vibe. Okay. Yes, you get the vibe. All right. So I'll go first.
Okay.
When Messi retires, Argentina will be in a better place than they were before Messi played with Argentina.
Real.
Ooh, that was quick. Because of your career, you've opened the door for people like me and Nico and Christian to be able to have a bigger place in the world of soccer in the U.S.
40 pro.
Yeah, it should be pro for sure.
I'll add to that. I mean, the fact that, I remember we had Fernando Fiore on the show. We had him on twice in the last couple of years. But for like a Latino to have a presidente and you know, basically la voz of football. It's kind of surreal. Like when I tell my mom that I interviewed you, she's gonna lose her mind.
So is my mom, by the way.
So it's really something incredibly special, and I'm very, very grateful for you joining us on the show.
Thank you. That's the only two pro rel questions you have.
Hold on, tengo otro. No, but he did want to give you his flowers. I got one. The Club World Cup ended up being a negative for Boca Juniors. And remember, a dentist from New Zealand scored against you.
Bro.
Okay. Ooh. Can you expand on that? Why? Of course. I mean, obviously, it didn't work out.
We didn't win any games. We couldn't even beat the dentist and the pizza delivery guy and the physical therapist. And I mean, I can name you the professional, all 11 starting players from Auckland City SC. Who, I mean, listen to this funny story. Their press officer is an Argentine, a true Boca Juniors fan.
What a tough day for that guy, huh?
Oh, can you imagine? I mean, he was probably very happy. But you know what? When the game resumed after the rain delay, we were already out. So he was very happy that they got the tie and the $1 million and their name being politicized around the world.
I mean, also, yeah, it's a bummer for Boca Junior, but what a story for Auckland, right? Like, I mean, that
to score against one of the biggest clubs in the world.
It is your club that you don't want anybody talking while they're playing. You have your ritual.
It's kind of embarrassing. It's kind of embarrassing that a team that was beaten 10-0 by Bayern Munich, whom we almost tied. We were 11 minutes from tying them, even though they outplayed us bad. But this is football, soccer. And we were 11 minutes out from tying Bayern Munich that we got scored on and were not even able to beat Auckland City, with all due respect to this semi-professional team of New Zealand.
Jeez. It is what it, lovely. It's a lovely, objectively, even as a journalist hat, incredible story. But when you're wearing your Boca hat, it's quite embarrassing. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have one more pro rel. Lionel Messi will start more games than he doesn't for the next World Cup.
Bro.
Wow.
All right. Would it be 37?
38.
38.
He will be 39 during the World Cup.
Incredible. Actually, last one. I have one. You mentioned Lionel Messi. Pro Orel, Lionel Messi skipping the MLS All-Star game is a good decision.
Play.
Ooh. Interesting. I'm gonna push back a little bit. I think it would have been nice and really, I mean, like, he's done enough for the league. I'm not saying he needs to do more, but would have been a really cool experience. I
touched on my radio show this. It wasn't a decision that was made from one day to the next. Probably MLS knew that this was going to happen way, way before. And in all honesty, I don't think the GOAT, that guy, needs to play an exhibition, 20 minutes of an exhibition game after all he has done. I understand all the commercial value, et cetera, but I am pretty sure MLS was not surprised. I mean, he's not one of those characters that will do things like that. This is, I'm pretty sure they had, you know, notice in advance.
I can accept that, but you know what? Jordi Alba, get in there. Go to Austin. Play your game.
Yeah, Jordi.
You're not on the same level.
You don't sell shirts like that, Jordi.
Not a good little way, yes.
Messi missed out on the opportunity to do the MLS All-Star Skills Challenge with iShow Speed. I know he's real sad about that.
That's not for him. I mean, in all honesty, I mean, I said this on my radio show yesterday. Thank God if he would have gone to the Skills Challenge, everyone else would have had to play for second place. I mean, we all know what his skills he's got. Well, he's the number one player in the world, perhaps the biggest in history, the number one, the best player of all time. I mean, I understand, believe me, I understand the business aspect, the show business aspect. I know the implications. I understand absolutely everything from a soccer purist that probably Nico told you that I am. It's okay if he skipped it. He has done enough for this league regardless.
Okay. All right. Then I have my last one. It's also Messi related. Messi being in MLS has saved him physically, which allows him to play and be more significant in the next World Cup.
Oof, I can't answer pro or rel because I would have to add why. It's probably pro. Because, you know, he does, it's probably less competitive than a big European league. But then I don't know about, you know, his sharpness, what his sharpness at this age would be if he would have stayed playing somewhere else. But regardless, let's keep him here forever. He's turned this league around.
Sounds like a man who lives pretty close to the stadium.
Andres Cantor, thank you so much. This has been one of the coolest experiences.
Okay, hold on, Christian. I want to know. Now I'm going to ask a question. So when you call your mom today, okay, you say, you won't believe who we had on the show. The guy doesn't put any sauce on his food. Is that what you're going to tell us?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, as a Dominican woman, she's going to be like, I mean, he hasn't had my meal. He hasn't had my food. You know? He's going to try to change
ni
it.
Ni un sofrito, no mojo, no nada.
No te gusta mofongo. Imposible.
Pero seco lo come. Ay, Dios.
Andres, this again, like, I mean, you know, you get plenty of praise, especially from people in media, people on the street, but this is really cool. Obviously,
also, it's deserved, man,
without a doubt. Also, the fact that we're in the same world, and obviously Alexis worked with and work and continues to work with your son, and the fact that all this overlap for us as two comedians, two Latinos, to be in this space, but also find like-minded and people that understand kind of like what this is about and are also incredibly welcoming. It really does mean a lot. You know, we got to really know Nico before we got to know you, but
bit of a shame. But we got to know you still.
but you raised a good kid that has welcomed us into
two great
this,
kids, by the way.
Yeah, into this space more than most. So, you know, we just want to say thank you for that as well. But Andres, I mean, there's
thank
too
you.
Many positive things we could say. We can go all day. But,
yeah. You're more than welcome on the show whenever you want.
Muchísimas gracias. Sinceramente, un placer.
Un honor.
Thank you. Thank you. And the biggest compliment out of this interview was the things that you said about my kids. That's the first and foremost thing that I take right off. The rest is super nice. All the professional compliments about what you just said about Nico and Andrea. Thank you.
No doubt.
Of course. See, this is why you can't be my dad. You're too positive about your kids. There's a precedent set on this.
Get in character on this.
Hey, when I yell, I mean, I used to yell a lot. In a good way, with always positive comments, but you said I have a deep voice. It's not like I raised them good, but not, I mean, not like I didn't yell, hey, do your homework now. It's like, okay.
Amazing. Andres, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me on. And anytime, I'll be back. If Fiore was here twice, I got to beat El Presidente and be here three times.
That's true.
Of course.
And I'm going to Miami. We're going to go get bancheros and we're going to celebrate with a nice glass of Buchanan's.
Hey, if you're here and you don't call me, I'll let Nico know to give you my number. I think you have my number. You better call me when you're in Miami. I'm taking you to Banchero and we'll go more viral than the astronomer guy. Okay, with a pizza.
Yeah, and when you message Alexis, it'll turn blue, the little check. You'll know
I read it.
All right.
Thank you, guys.